It's one of those things where I can literally say, you do not pay me enough to care about this.
Welcome to 10 Cent Takes, the show where we tell you to stick 'em up one issue at a time. My name is Jessica Fraser, and I'm joined by my co-host, the page-shuffling sheriff himself, Mike Thompson.
Hello.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Similarly okay. Well, if you're new to the show, our main episodes drop every other week and provide in-depth looks into interesting moments in comic books and how they tie into pop culture and history. But today is one of our Dollar Bin Discoveries mini-episodes that we do in between those deep dives. We spend a lot of time rooting through dollar bins at local shops looking for interesting stuff. And while a lot of the issues we find are fun and weird, there may not be enough for us to do a deep dive on at the moment. But we do always reserve the right to change our mind later. Each episode will feature both of us talking about one random issue we came across in the dollar bins, one that fits in a theme that one of us chose. I chose this week's, and we are talking about Wild West comics. So we will talk about what it is, what goes on inside it, and why it's interesting. These are mini episodes that are meant to provide you with some weekly content between our more in-depth discussions about the weirder and more interesting moments in comic book history. So, Mike, what Wild West shenanigans do you have for us today?
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
I picked up Justice League of America, Volume 1, 198. It is cover dated January 1982, published by DC Comics, obviously, written by Jerry Conway, penciled by Don Heck, inked by Brett Breeding, colored by Carl Gafford, lettered by Ben Oda, and edited by Len Wine, with cover art by Ross Andrew and cover inks by Romeo Tang Hall. So, we open in the year 1878, somewhere in the American West. Jonah Hex is riding on his horse. He's on the trail of someone, but then he comes across the Green Lantern, Hal Jordan. Hal is extremely sunburnt and dehydrated, and he passes out after basically trying to blast Jonah with his light. That night, Jonah has made camp and is taking care of Hal, who's got amnesia, while a sinister silhouette watches the two from afar. We cut to Desecration, Arizona, where it's revealed a similarly confused Zatanna is also unstuck in time and has wandered into a saloon. Some of the regulars try to harass her, but the female gunfighter Cinnamon steps in to stop them, just as Zatanna uses her magic to blow the men out into the street, and again, a silhouette watches from the shadows. Northeast of Desecration, Native American hero Scalp Hunter encounters the Elongated Man in the wilderness, and the two fight off a very hungry cougar. Again, the Justice Leaguer has amnesia, but he does know that he's in the wrong year when he hears it's 1878. And again, evil, shadowy figure watching from afar, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, cut to Tucson, Arizona. The character Batlash gets into a gunfight with some cheating poker players at the card hall, while the Flash obviously sits in the background. Like, he's in like a trench coat and a hat, but he's got his costume on underneath. I'm like, that's real inconspicuous.
Of course he does.
Barry. Yeah. Batlash ends up escaping, and the Flash knocks out the ringleader and throws him into the local jail with a note, and then he chases down Batlash to let him know everything is okay, and they become friends. When Batlash learns that Flash also has amnesia, he says they're going to go see his friend Doc Holliday to see if he can help, and then again, sinister figure watching from afar. Meanwhile, back in the year 1981, Superman is on the Justice League satellite base trying to figure out why the aforementioned Justice Leaguers have vanished off the face of the Earth. He traces their last known signal lock from their JLA communicators and flies off to the Grand Canyon, where a giant robot just erupts from under the ground and reveals he's one of Superman's oldest enemies, but Superman has like no idea who he is. So Superman smashes the robot apart, and it turns out the interior is made of kryptonite, and Superman passes out. And then we get this like... this weirdo who just, he kind of looks like a Flash Gordon reject. He shows up, he reveals that his name is the Lord of Time. You know, subtle. And he is from the year 3786, and he gathered the kryptonite during that era, and then he monologues for several pages, revealing that he has transported the other heroes to Arizona 1878 because an antimatter meteorite is going to hit, and he's going to use them as unwitting agents to capture the antimatter energy to take over the world in his time. He leaves Superman dying on the ground while he returns to his evil lair, which, I don't know, it's maybe in another reality, maybe it's just weirdly camouflaged, it's unclear, but it's like, it's a cool visual, it's like a door opening in thin air, he walks through it and it closes behind him. So,
okay.
To be continued. Actually, I really enjoyed this issue, it's weird, it's like a pretty interesting setup, and it's got a bunch of fun little action pieces. It feels like a classic Copper Age story full of just breathless action and pseudoscience, and it doesn't really hold up to scrutiny, like, even in the slightest. But it is very fun, and I have a huge fondness for those Western characters, particularly Jonah Hex and Batlash. I actually have both of their first appearances, and I really want to track down the next episode and see how this all resolves.
That is fun.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's silly. It's fun. It, you know, it was a very quick read. It was kind of everything that I want out of a dollar bin book.
Wonderful. Well, that's all we can ask for here, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what about you? I'm curious, like, did you pick up like something like mainstream? Did you pick up something different?
No, something different.
Maybe.
So I got this from the Harvey Doss dollar bin sale a couple of months ago that you and I went to. Yeah.
They've got another one coming up soon.
Oh, sweet. Even better. We just got some gems from that sale. If you guys are in the area, go to Harvey Doss in Rohnert Park, California. We're in the North Bay.
They're great.
They have such cool stuff. They have a whole, like, they have a regular shop, and then they have a whole underneath area that's just like a dollar bin room. It's just, it's a room. It's wild.
Yeah, and then what they do is they open that out once a quarter now is their plan to do do dollar bin sales. And, like, and it's basically, a lot of times it's kind of like giant collections that they're picking up, and then they're just like, well, you know, we can't sell these individually. No one's going to want them. But I've, like, you know, I found some cool stuff. Like, you know, I showed it in the video that we posted.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram and all the places.
Yeah.
So this is called Billy the Kid's Old Timey Oddities, issue number one, published by Dark Horse Comics, April 2005. Story and characters were created by Eric Powell and Kyle Hotz, written by Eric Powell, art by Kyle Hotz, colors by Eric Powell, lettered by Michael Heisler. Assistant editors were Dave Marshall and Gina Gagliano. Editor was Matt Dreyer, logo by Leah Ribacci. Designed by Amy Arendts. Publisher was Mike Richardson. So we start out with a brief history of Billy the Kid and his eventual demise. Then we see a man being thrown into solitary confinement and a very little man who was being put into a cage and threatened to stay quiet.
Mm.
But it was all a dream. And our protagonist is awoken by the whistle of a train, screaming the word no as he comes to. Across from him is a man with a large twisted mustache who had not been there when our protagonist had first gone to sleep, which was strange as there had been no stops since he drifted off.
Mm.
So the man asks for our protagonist's name, to which he replies Henry, but the man makes it clear that he knows exactly who he is, Billy the Kid.
Hmm.
He threatens that others were given parcels that were to be mailed should he fail to check in, so it wouldn't be a good idea for Billy to kill him, as he was threatening to do at that point. The man introduces himself as Phineas Spruill, his professional name being the Human Spider, as he holds up three hands.
Oh, cool. Okay.
He explains that he runs a traveling spectacle called Spruill's Biological Curiosities. Billy keeps trying to call it a freak show, of which Spruill is obviously not a fan. Spruill mentions that he wants to hire Billy to do a job for him, and that the gentleman they are going to be ripping off is named Frankenstein.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, an old woman and a small boy, a tiny man, unclear at this point, are looking on at the scene with Billy through a mist, and the boy mentions that he doesn't want to have to go with the man and calls her mama, and she says that he has to.
Hmm.
Spruill and Billy get to where the traveling show is stationed at the moment and tells Billy that using the word freak is offensive. Billy gets to meet the Alligator Man, real name Alduin Callahan, who is exactly that, a man who looks like an alligator with kind of a toupee, it looks like.
Okay.
And Billy is not a fan, and he will not shake Alduin's hand because, you know, hate.
Yeah.
And Alduin gets it, as he's seen this so often before, and he invites Billy to dine with everyone. So we get, at this point, introductions of all of the different performers who are all sitting around a big table, like the tattooed lady and the dog-faced man. They also tell him about what they are looking for, and it's called the Golem's Heart. And it's a stone that had been formed to be the heart of a golem, or a creature created from clay and given life.
Right.
And the rabbi who made the golem ended up feeling responsible for the destruction and atrocities that the creature had created. So he took the stone out and buried it. Billy is suspicious about this story, but they tell him to look at the tattooed lady, as there's a message on her back. And the messages change on her back.
Oh,
but right now it says, "Seek the gunman. Kid is not dead."
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. So Billy tries unsuccessfully to hit on the tattooed lady, but she instead tells him about the horrors that she went through in getting tattooed, as she had not chosen to do this to herself and had sustained other acts of violence in the process. Billy can't read a fucking room, though, and tries to hit on her, so she decks him, telling him to never speak to her again as she walks off.
Good. Have you seen the last 48 hours on TikTok? There's been some guy who's called, like, the Alpha Dom. And he's talking,
oh my God, I can't with that guy. He's like, never accept a woman's rejection. I'm like, yeah. Sir.
Like, this is the kind of content.
That's called stalking or assault. Like,
the absolute
exactly.
Dog walking that the entire user base on that app has submitted him to. It's so good. But anyway.
Oh my God.
This made me think of that. Sorry.
Oh no, 100%. Same vibes. Absolutely the same vibes. So he then proceeds to get drunk with the dog-faced man and regretting his choices the next day, for sure. As they're set to leave, a man comes into the camp shooting a gun, stating that he had been the one who told Sproul about the Golem's Heart and that he was stealing his idea to go get it. So Billy gets involved, shoots the man gun so it backfires on him, and the man takes off.
Okay.
So they make plans to go on their merry way to find the precious jewel, and that's where we end the issue.
Huh. All right. I mean, this sounds like something that I would be into, honestly.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I'll throw it your direction so you could read it further. This was an interesting comic for sure, but it did sure show its age. It didn't go unnoticed to me that the only real woman that had any sort of role in this comic had been horribly abused as part of her storyline and was still being used as a tool for information and as a point of lust for Billy, of course.
Yeah.
That aside, I liked the artwork. It felt very Old West whimsical, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I thought that for being from 2005, it was interesting that the word freak was being called out as being offensive, which it is, to be clear.
Yeah.
But the plot was interesting, too, especially as they seem to be looping in a lot of urban legends and classic monsters and classic kind of traveling acts into this storyline. So I don't know that I'll necessarily like go out of my way to find more of this, but if I happen to run into it, like say when I'm in the dollar bins or something, I'd pick it up again.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up our episode for today. So thank you for joining us. We will be back in a week, next week, I should say, with another deep dive. Who knows what that's going to be at this point. We're recording these all out of order and in advance and trying to be little responsible podcasters, you know.
I don't know. I hate it.
Yeah, it sucks. Being into everyone, if you're not an adult yet, you'll find this out. It sucks. It's not everything it's cracked up to be. Be a child as long as you can. Or you'll try to be a child again, as I was. I'm wearing my Haunted Mansion pants right now.
Solid.
It's a thing. So, all right. But at any rate, join us next week for that. In 2 weeks, we will have another Dollar Bin Discovery. And until then, we will see you in the stacks.
Thanks for listening to 10 Cent Takes. Accessibility is important to us, so text transcriptions of each of our published episodes can be found on our website.
This episode was hosted by Jessica Fraser and Mike Thompson, written by Jessica Fraser and edited by Mike Thompson. Our intro theme was written and performed by Jared Emerson Johnson of Bay Area Sound. Our credits and transition music is Pursuit of Life by Evan MacDonald and was purchased with a standard license from Premium Beat. Our banner graphics were designed by Sarah Frank, who's at lookmomdraws.com.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, ask us questions, or tell us about how we got something wrong, please head over to 10centtakes.com or shoot an email to 10centtakes@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter for now. The official podcast account is 10centtakes, all one word. Jessica is Jessica with a, and Jessica is spelled with a K. And Mike is Vansau, V-A-N-S-A-U. You can also find us on Instagram, Mastodon, Facebook, TikTok, and Blue Sky. A full list of our socials will be listed in the show notes.
You can also send us mail now. We are at P.O. Box 940 in Pen Grove, California, 94951. And Pen Grove is spelled P-E-N-N-G-R-O-V-E.
Send us stuff.
If you'd like to support us, be sure to download, rate, and review wherever you listen.
Stay safe out there.
And support your local comic shop.